Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening. Thankful for your love and your mercy. Thankful for the rain that you sent our ways. We praise you. We thank you. We have gathered together this evening to study a portion of your word. We are aware that the human mind cannot grasp anything that is spiritual apart from the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. So it is a request that the Holy Spirit will enable us to hear precisely what you have for us this evening. This is a request in Christ's name. Amen. Still in Exodus 23, verses 21 and 22. It reads in the 1984 edition of the NIV, "Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you." Now the message of Yahweh to Israel in this section, that is of course the second paragraph of the larger section of Exodus 23, verses 20 through 33. The message of verses 21 and 22 is that Israel's disobedience to the leading of the angel will result in no forgiveness, while obedience will result in Yahweh siding with them against their enemies. Now, subsequently, the message to us is that disobedience of God's word ensures no forgiveness, while obedience ensures God will fight your battles for you. And so we have considered the positive and the negative commands given to Israel in connection with the angel of Yahweh. So we ended with a reason given for cautioning Israel against rebelling or sinning as it pertains to the angel of Yahweh. Now this reason is that he will not forgive Israel's rebellion or sin, specifically of revolt or rebellion. So we indicated that there's of course more to this reason, and it is with this that we begin our study this evening. Now Yahweh provided a reason. The angel of Yahweh will not forgive Israel's sin of rebellion or revolt in the last clause of verse 21. Exodus 23 verse 21. Look at that. "Since my name is in him." Since my name is in him. Now the word "since" here, of course, is really translated from a Hebrew word that has several usages. For example, it may be used as a marker of emphasis and strengthening of a statement, and so may be translated something like "indeed" or "surely." Now it may be used as a marker of contrast, in which case it may be translated "rather," "on the contrary." It may also be used as a marker of point of time, which is simultaneous to or overlapping another time. Hence means "when." In our verse, it is used as a marker of reason. So really means "because" or "since." Thus then the word introduced the reason. The angel of Yahweh will not forgive Israel's sin or rebellion or revolt against him. Now the reason the angel of Yahweh will not forgive Israel's sin of rebellion or revolt is because he represents Yahweh himself. He represents Yahweh himself. Now this interpretation is based on the sentence of Exodus 23:21 when it says, "My name is in him." My name is in him. Now the word "name" is translated from a Hebrew word that could mean name. That's of course a proper designation of a person, a place or thing. Now the word may mean reputation or fame. But to understand it or its usage in our passage of Exodus 23 verse 21, we need to explore the use of name among the Semitic people. Now to the Semitic, name has significance beyond mere identification of a person. To give a name to someone or something is to acknowledge the existence of a person or a thing. It is for this reason that when it is said in the scripture that a person's name is cut off or destroyed, that means the person ceases to exist. Thus then, concerted effort was made in Israel to ensure the existence of a person's family in terms of his name. So it is concept that is expressed by Boaz when he married Ruth, according to Ruth chapter 4 verse 10. Ruth chapter 4 verse 10. He reads, "I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." Look at that. "So that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses." Now name was used in the scripture to signify the nature or attributes of the person named, especially in connection with God. And so we see the significance when God identified himself to Moses but followed his mention of his name with some of his divine attributes, as we read in Exodus chapter 34 verses 5 through 7. Exodus chapter 34 verses 5 through 7. He reads Exodus 34 beginning at verse 5. "Then Yahweh came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, Yahweh, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abundant in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation." Now this passage of Exodus 34 suggests that when the word name is used with God, it may refer to his nature or divine attributes. Now this is further evident in that God called him, gave himself the name Jealous. That's the name he gave himself. Still in that Exodus 34, look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 reads, "Although do not worship any other god, for Yahweh, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Now God identified himself with the name jealous. It's his way of stating that he is the only supreme God who does not tolerate any rivals, and so demands complete loyalty or devotion. So the point is that name, when used particularly with respect to God, signifies his nature. In fact, in some contexts, the word name with respect to God may be equivalent to the meaning character, as this is the sense of the word in the prayer of prophet Jeremiah, recorded in Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 7. It is, although our sins testify against us, O Yahweh, do something for the sake of your name. For our backsliding is great, we have sinned against you. So here, the plea of the prophet is for God to do something in keeping with his character. So name here refers to character, or to preserve his character. Of course, it could also be understood to mean that the prophet pleaded with God to act in accordance with his revelation of himself to Moses. Now that aside, the point is that God's name may be equivalent to his character or nature. So anyway, as we have indicated, a name may signify a person's nature or attributes. Now this point is illustrated with respect to human beings. Thus, Abigail, the Nabal's wife, spoke of her husband's name, signifying his character, as we read in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 25. Of course, when you read these things, you know that humans don't change. We go from age to age with the same thing, sinful nature and everything associated with it. Improvement comes through regeneration and spiritual growth. Nonetheless, this is how this woman talked about the husband. So we read here, "May my Lord pay no attention to that wicked man Nabal." That's what the wife describing the husband, a wicked man. He is just like his name. His name is a fool. And folly goes with him. But as for me, your servant, I did not see the man my master sent. Now it's interesting how this woman described the husband. Anyway, so name here has to do, the name Nabal says represents this man has been a foolish person, and so enough that he is a fool. Anyway, in keeping with this usage of name to signify a person's attribute or nature, that the word name is used in defining a mocker, one who mocks other people, in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 24. Proverbs. Chapter 21, verse 24. It reads, "The proud and arrogant man, Mocha, is his name. He behaves with overweening pride." So it is because a name signifies something that a person, about a person though, that the request for a person's name was important in the Old Testament time, especially when one encounters the angel of Yahweh. When the angel of Yahweh, who actually wrestled with Jacob, gave him a new name. Jacob, knowing the significance of name, wanted to know the name of the one that gave him this new name of Israel, as we read in Genesis chapter 32, verse 29. Genesis chapter 32, verse 29. It is, "Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.'" See the importance of name. "Tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. It's also because of the significance of a person's name that Manuel wanted to know the name of the angel of Yahweh that appeared to him and his wife, so that when what he was told came true, he would then know whom to praise, as he revealed in Judges chapter 13, verse 17. Judges chapter 13, verse 17. It reads, "Then Manoah inquired of the angel of Yahweh, 'What is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true?'" The significance of a name then is important. That twice we have an explanation for a name in the New Testament. Now the angel Gabriel gave the significance of the name of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It reads, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Here's the significance. "Because he will save his people from their sins." So name has significance. Matthew also refers to the meaning of the name of Jesus Christ as given by prophet Isaiah, as he quotes him in the same Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 23. verse 23 reads, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. God in flesh, Emmanuel. Doesn't it should be clear that the Semitic people did not often give names to people with as significance as we do today. Now, it's not only that a name signifies the name, I mean the nature or attribute of a person, but giving a name to someone signifies an act of dominion. Doesn't to indicate that a man has dominion over God's lower creation, Adam was given the task of naming all animals God brought to him, as stated in Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. Hold on to Genesis, so when you open it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. It is, "So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. Before Adam, no suitable helper was found." It is this sense of dominion of parents over their children that is also reflected in Adam's naming of his son Seth, as stated in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. He reads, "Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son, and named him Seth, saying, 'God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him.'" So Seth means really replacement, so to say. Now the sovereignty of God over creation is reflected in his identification of his covenant people by his own name, as stated in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. It is, "But now, this is what Yahweh says, 'He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine.'" So that's, you know, calling them by his name means that they are his people. So the word may also really, the word translated name really may be used then as a title for the supreme God, the creator. So it may be translated name with the capital N to begin it, as it is used in describing the punishment that comes to a person who blasphemes Yahweh, as we read in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16. Leviticus. Chapter 24, verse 16 says, anyone who blasphemes the name of Yahweh must be put to death. The entire assembly must stone him, whether an alien or native born, when he blasphemes, look at that, the name, he must be put to death. So here, the name refers, he said, we are saying Yahweh himself or God. So the name can refer to God. Now the word name, really when used then of Yahweh, may represent himself. Thus, when the psalmist used the word name in association with Yahweh in his petition to be enabled to serve him or to worship him, he meant Yahweh himself, as in Psalm 86, verse 11. All I'm saying is that the name may represent Yahweh himself, as in Psalm 86, verse 11. Psalm 86, verse 11. It is, teach me your way, O Yahweh, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Now here, of course, name is associated with himself, so that I may fear you. Your name here, referring to Yahweh himself. So then to fear the name of Yahweh here, means either to worship him or to serve him, so that name refers to Yahweh himself. Name refers to Yahweh himself. Now the word name in association with Yahweh certainly means his person or himself, and the promise of Yahweh to foreigners who worship him, as prophet Isaiah recorded in Isaiah 56, verse 6. Isaiah 56, verse 6. So here we are saying again that word name in association with Yahweh certainly means his person or himself. So we read here, and foreigners who bind themselves to Yahweh to serve him, to love the name of Yahweh, and to worship him, or who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant. All these are people who worship the name of Yahweh himself. So here name in any case refers both to Yahweh himself and his personal name for the foreigners that would in the future love Yahweh himself, but also his name in contrast to the other names of the gods that the ancient nations worshipped before they joined the people of Yahweh, as Prophet Isaiah speaks of in this passage. Now the word name in association with Yahweh may also represent his presence. Yahweh associated with his name may represent his presence. It is in this sense that a word is used to describe the place Israelites were to eat their tithes, as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 23 through 24. Now this passage is interesting. We studied it a long time ago, not in detail, but in passing when we're studying tithing in Genesis. Because I remember seeing some people argue that if you get your salary, you give 1/10 of it. Because they say, we don't farm the way the ancient people did, and therefore you paid 1/10 of your salary, whatever it happened to be. And I was arguing that tithe does not involve money. It involves produce, no money. This passage clearly proves that, as I'm going to see. Let's read it. It says, if the tithe of your grain, you got what I call tithe of your grain, new wine and oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks, in the presence of Yahweh, your God, at the place he will choose as a dwelling place for his name, so that you may learn to revere Yahweh, your God, always. Now here is the thing that I don't know how you get around that. It says, but if the place is too distant, and you have been blessed by the Lord your God, and cannot carry your tithe, because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name is so far away. Then, if you read the rest of it, you say, save it. Say what you were supposed to go with. Then, when you get there, buy it. He didn't say, take money and tithe. It's always produce. So, of course, that they will ignore the fact that it's for Levitical priesthood. And we're not under Levitical priesthood. Anyway, here though, look at verse 23, it says, a dwelling place for his name. That phrase, a dwelling place for his name, and the clause, the place where the Lord will choose to put his name, of verse 24, both refer to the sanctuary that represents Yahweh's presence. Yahweh's presence. So the word name then, in association with Yahweh, may refer to his reputation or fame as what will be proclaimed throughout the world because of the plague he brought upon the Egyptians, as recorded in Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. Exodus chapter 9, verse 16 reads, but I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So here, name means reputation. Yahweh's reputation will be heard all over the earth. In our passage, though, of Exodus 23, verse 21, the word name has the sense of presence. Although, the idea of authority is also implied in the meaning of presence. It has the sense of presence. Because you say, my name is in him. My presence is in him. My authority is in him. You can put all that. Anyway, the sense of the Hebrew word and translated name that we say is presence in the verse that we are considering means then that the sentence of Exodus 23:21, my name is in him, should be understood to mean the angel of Yahweh represents Yahweh himself. When he says my name is in him, it means the angel of Yahweh represents Yahweh himself. So anyway, the first reason Israel should avoid negative response to the commands of the angel of Yahweh is that that will lead to lack of forgiveness of sin, of rebellion by the angel of Yahweh. Now this means that the first result then of improper response to Yahweh's commands or instruction is lack of forgiveness of the sin of rebellion. It is this result that is reflected in our assertion in the message that disobedience of God's word ensures no forgiveness, as part again of the message to us in the section that we are considering. So in any case, Israel's positive response to the commands of the angel of Yahweh will lead them to Yahweh siding with them against their enemies. Now thus, Israel's positive response leads to a result that contrasts though with the negative result. Now this is clear in that the Exodus 23 verse 22 in the Hebrew text begins with a Hebrew word that we encountered of course in verse 21, where we indicated that it has the meaning of since or because. But in our present verse, verse 22, the word is used as a marker of contrast with the meaning but, to indicate that what is given in verse 22 contrasts with what was stated in the preceding verse of verse 21. See, verse 21 states a negative response of sin of rebellion, and the result of such response, which is of course its lack of forgiveness of sin. Now in contrast with verse 21, verse 22 gives a positive response and the result of such positive response. The positive response to commands or instruction of Yahweh or the angel of Yahweh is really given in the conditional closing of Exodus 23 verse 22, where it says, if you listen carefully to what he says. Now literally the Hebrew reads, if hearing you hear to his voice. If hearing you hear to his voice. Now the Hebrew, that's become a Hebrew idiom. That Hebrew idiom then reflected in the literal translation is one that is used really to emphasize a concept expressed in a Hebrew construction of a verb, so that the sense of the idiom here is that of paying attention to something, to what is said. Hence, the word, the use of the word carefully in the NIV or attentively in the New Revised Standard Version, so it's proper. With that aside, we considered the Hebrew word translated listen of Exodus 23 in Exodus 23 verse 21, and the literal word voice translated also from a Hebrew word that means sound, that we also looked at in that verse. So we argue that the combination of the two Hebrew words, that when we combine them, then they will have the sense of to obey. Although it means listen to the voice. But that expression, listen to the voice, means to obey. So the same interpretation that we gave then in verse 21 applies here in verse 22. Therefore, the condition stipulated in the clause, if you listen carefully to what he says, should be understood to mean not merely listen attentively, but if the Israelites obeyed the instruction or commands of the angel of Yahweh. So that is something stipulated, something important that Israel cannot ignore. Neither can we. That it is a condition for God's blessing. Now you look at any way you look from any perspective you look at it, That is a key factor in our dealing with God. Because we cannot enjoy His blessings without obedience. There are several things God has instituted on this planet for us to enjoy, but He has conditions for them. And those conditions must be obeyed if you're going to enjoy God's blessing. Now, many people certainly would like to have dependable friends. But if you are a believer who is conscious and obey God's word, you know that you should not have an intimate friendship with an unbeliever. You shouldn't do that. Because that will be living in disobedience to God's word. Those you should associate with, your best friends, ought to be your fellow believers. And when you do, then you will enjoy whatever there is to enjoy of having friendship with somebody. So that is what is important. And here, we cannot emphasize it enough. Because that's what God is laying to Israel. This condition, if you listen carefully, which I said again, means if you obey what God says to you, of course to Israel here, that then they will be blessed. Now to ensure that we understand that what God is talking about is obedience, look at what it says again in Exodus 23 verse 22, where it says, "And do all that I say." That "and do all that I say" tells us that listen carefully means obey. Now how do we know that? Well, look at that word "and" that says, "and do all that I say." That word "and" is translated from a Hebrew particle, no doubt often translated "and" in our English versions. However, the Hebrew particle has several other usages. In our passage, really here, when it says "and," that "and" should be understood as a marker of explanation with the meaning that is. So, look at what you have. If you read, "and do all that I say." If I remove that and put "that is," then it is "that is, do all I say." So now if you read it together, if you listen carefully to what he says, "that is, do all I say." You see clearly, he's talking about obedience. It's not just listening, obedience. Now secondly, the concept of obedience is also implied in the sentence, "do all that I say." See the word "do" here? It's translated from a Hebrew word that has a range of meanings. It can mean to bring about deliverance, as God did to Israel when they were, he delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians. The word also can mean to walk, as it is used in the instruction regarding the observance of the Sabbath, according to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3 reads, "There are 6 days when you may walk, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly." You remember we studied the law of the Sabbath and said primarily it was designed for the resting of body and for worship, which I said the principle, if you apply today, it will be beneficial to you. in the sense that you raise your body on Sundays, one day in the week. You raise your bodies and use that day to focus on your worship of God as well. And you do that, you have the blessing of refreshed body that you may not realize until you begin to experience certain things in your body. You realize you didn't take care of the body the way you should, which will include ignoring what we just read. So you say you are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Now, in our passage of Exodus 23, verse 22, the word means to do in the sense of to carry out or to execute. In other words, God is saying to Israel, that is, if you execute all that I say to you, if you carry them out, or if you execute them, then that's when the blessings will come. Anyway, the thing that is to be carried out or executed is given in the clause of Exodus 23, verse 22. Again, it says, all that I say. Now, that word all conveys the sense of totally carrying out or executing what Yahweh says. The word says here, it's really translated from a Hebrew word that is concerned with verbal communication, so that it means to tell or to speak. Nonetheless, the word may mean to instruct. As a word is used in Yahweh's communication to Moses regarding how to treat those with skin diseases by quarantining them outside the camp of Israel, as we read in Numbers chapter 5, verse 4. Numbers chapter 5, verse 4. Here is, the Israelites did this. They sent them outside the camp. They did just as Yahweh had instructed Moses. When we have some outbreak of some diseases, Israel was instructed while they were still traveling the desert, put these people outside their camp to stop the spread of whatever it is. And that's what we have here. Now, the word can also mean to proclaim, as in the commandments Yahweh gave to Israel in a loud voice, as reported in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22 reads, these are the commandments Yahweh proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly there on the mountain from out of the fire, the cloud, and deep darkness. You all remember us starting God appearing on Mount Sinai and speaking to the people, giving all those Ten Commandments, so to say, and it was too painful to hear, and that's what he said. Moses, go listen to him, bring us word. So that's what Moses is recapping here. He said, and he added nothing more. Then he wrote them in two stone tablets and gave them to me. So here, there is really talking about the same word that means to speak or say can also mean to proclaim. So that's what he said, what God proclaimed to you. You had it. That's what I wrote down for you. Anyway, the word, as we use it, as it appears in our passage, it can simply mean to command. It's not just to say something. It can also mean to command, especially as used of God's communication to Moses, as it relates to God's instruction to Israel regarding his provision of manna, as we read in Exodus chapter 16, verse 23. Exodus chapter 16, verse 23. It is, he said to them, this is what Yahweh commanded. That same Hebrew word, instead of translating, says, he said commanded, because it's coming from high authority. This is what Yahweh commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. So, bake what you want to bake, and boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left, and keep it until morning. In our passage of Exodus 23, verse 22, the word may mean then to instruct or to command. Although the meaning to instruct or to command is probably, you can say to say, but the meaning to command or to instruct is probably more communicative to convey here, that the communication of the angel of Yahweh is one that will command actions from the Israelites. So we contend then that the sentence of Exodus 23 verse 22, do all that I say, conveys then the sense of obedience to the angel of Yahweh. So we should observe that Yahweh switches from demanding obedience to the angel of Yahweh to demanding obedience to himself because of that sentence, do all that I say. See, that's a switch now. Now this is probably a veiled way of Yahweh conveying to Israel the plurality of the persons of the Godhead without saying it directly to them, since at that stage of limited knowledge of the person of Yahweh, Israel would then have got involved in idolatry, or they think God is they think their God is consisting of many gods like the other nations, when no, he's not, it's a unique God that exists in three persons. So be that as it may, Yahweh gives to Israel a promise of what would result from their obedience to the angel of Yahweh, as we read them in Exodus 23 verse 22, where it says, I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. Literally, it reads, I will be an enemy to your enemies and a foe to your foes. So the expression to be an enemy is really translated from a Hebrew word that appears only here in the Hebrew Old Testament, and it means to be openly hostile towards another. So it is related to a Hebrew word that means enemy, that is one, of course, in opposition and hostility to another. Hence here, the promise of Exodus 23 verse 22, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. It's a promise that Yahweh will treat with open hostility all those who are openly hostile to the Israelite as they journey to the promised land. Those who are openly hostile, he said, I'm going to be openly hostile to them too. Now, to ensure though that Israel understood his promise of obedience to the angel of Yahweh, Yahweh then restated the promise in another related way in the last clause then of Exodus 23 verse 22. Look at what it says. And will oppose those who oppose you. Now the word oppose here is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to lay siege, as what Israel was to do to any nation during their conquest they will go through, offer them peace. That peace, of course, means you serve us. You serve to our terms, we won't bother you. But when they refuse, then they engage them in a battle. So that is where the Hebrew word is used in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 20 verse 12. It is, if they refuse to make peace and they engage you in battle, lay siege to that city. Now you see that word is same word that means to oppose, but here it says lay siege to that city. Anyway, in our passage of Exodus 23 verse 22, the word has the sense of to be an adversary. That is, to be someone who offers opposition, or it can mean to attack or to fight. To attack or to fight. Thus then, the promise of Yahweh to Israel for obedience to the angel of Yahweh is siding with them against their enemies or their adversaries. It is for this reason that we stated in the second part of the message of this section to us, which is that obedience towards God ensures that he will fight your battles for you. You want him to fight your battles? You must obey him. Consequently, if you live then in obedience to God's word, you can assert like David that your battle, whatever your battle is, each human being has his or her own battle, whatever they are, you can be sure that if you live in obedience, you can say that whatever that battle is not yours. It is God's. You say exactly what David said, recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. For Samuel chapter 17 verse 47. Here is what David says, and all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that Yahweh saves, for the battle is Yahweh's, and he will give all of you into our hands. That is to say, you live in obedience. When people fight against you, don't worry about it. Turn it and say, you're not fighting me, it's God's fight. And leave God, he will do more than you can possibly imagine. We get ourselves worked up for nothing, trying to fight for ourselves. when we have one who can fight for us. What we require of us is live in obedience to Him. And if we do so, we will have one fighting on our behalf. So, in ending this evening, let me remind you of the message, which is disobedience of God's word ensures no forgiveness, while obedience ensures God will fight your battles for you. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will continue to cause us to learn how to be obedient to you, so we can be assured that you take up our battles and make them yours. This is our request in Christ's name.